I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and Psalms 91. And we've been doing this little mini-series. These are all standalone messages, so you haven't missed anything. But the title of this message today is Protect This House. I stole that from Under Armour, okay? Protect This House is what we're going to... This is the title of the message today. And I knew that we'd be having Ma Daddy Day. So this is a Parents' Day for the moms and the dads and all the families would be here today, and I just felt like this would be a fitting word for today, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. If you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, I've got 7 points today, okay, and we'll get through them really quick. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, we'll get through them really quickly, I promise, but something that Jade and I do, you know, at night before we go to bed is we make sure the doors are locked. We make sure the alarm is set for the next morning, and we pray over ourselves, over our children, over everything. And and Jada has told me all the time, she said, Mark, whenever the thing that gives me the most security is when you pray over us and our family, right, babe? And so I think as a man of God, as husbands, and as parents, that's the thing that we have to do over ourselves and over our children. And you need, and don't, I know some guys, they get all like, you know, I don't know what to say, or just have a conversation with God, just like he's sitting right there and praying over your family. But I'm going to look at something, and we've looked at this scripture several times, but I think as you look at scripture over and over and over again, it starts getting in your spirit, man. And this was a story about King Asa in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and this is where that word fortify comes from. He says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods, all the false gods in the high places, and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. Everybody say quiet. It was quiet. And he built fortified cities. Everybody say fortify. Okay, in Judah, for the land had rest. That's another, because he fortified the city. It was quiet. It had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. And the reason why they did all that, was able to do all that, was because he fortified the walls or fortified the city. And in the Old Testament, the word fortify, or the word fortify, even in the New Testament, means this: to strengthen with defensive works so as to protect it against attack. And King Asa's fortification results in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, what we just read, was quietness, rest, no war, peace, and prosperity due to fortifying his borders. I don't know about you, but I want that at my home. I want that kind of stuff. And so to do that, you're going to have to fortify your borders. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when you see a fortified city, was considered a blessing, a place of security and strength, and something to be desired. That's where people wanted to move their families to in Old Testament times, because that was a good city to live in, a safe city. And we too should desire the blessing of fortified walls around every area of our lives, our health, our finances, our family, and our faith, because the devil is roaming around like a lion looking for the tiniest breach at any point of entry into our lives. You give him an inch and he'll become the ruler of your life, is what some person said. And I thought that was really good, and it's so true. But here's what I want us to look at today, is Psalms 91. Psalms 91 is a powerful psalm. I encourage you to, I don't have it committed to memory yet, but I want to commit it to memory. There's a lot in these 16 verses in Psalms 91, and we're going to read this, and then we're going to go into that, and I'm going to pull out 7 things that we can do to protect our home. And everybody said, all right, so here's verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And everybody said, amen. That's a powerful psalm, and I encourage you to read that and reread it and commit it to memory. But I'm going to give you 7 faith strategies this morning. This is for moms and dads. It's for every family here today for building a Psalms 91 house, okay? This is something you can do. There's going to be takeaways that you can go home and do. You know, I'm looking over here at one of these days, you two are going to start a house. And Mark and Carrie are going, not yet. But one of these days, that's going to happen. And you're going to learn, and no matter, maybe you've been married for, you know, a lot of years. This is something that Jade and I can do. When I was studying this out and preparing this, I was like, there are some of these things that we got to get back to our, yes, we pray and stuff, but there's some other things that we need to do in this deal. You know, some things where I got lax. Has anybody ever got lax in protecting your house? Okay. And so it was just good reminders for me as well. But 7 faith strategies for building a Psalms 91 house, for protecting your house. Number one is fill your atmosphere. Fill your atmosphere. And that is you personally. Even though Jade and I are husband and wife, there are needs that she can't meet in me that only Jesus can. And I got to make sure I've got those needs met with the Lord. Or what I do is I try to project that onto her. She doesn't make a good Jesus. She doesn't even make a good Holy Spirit Junior. Right? I shouldn't even be doing that. Vice versa, too. You've got to get those needs met with the Lord and not project those onto your spouse. Because if you do, that's just a recipe for disaster. And I've done that before. And you can't do that. You've got to get your needs met from the Lord. And then you're able to minister to one another. But you got to fill your atmosphere, and your atmosphere is you yourself personally, and then your home as well. In Psalms 91, verse 1, he says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." So that's he or she. When you dwell, and you can dwell in God's presence all day long. You can have him at the forefront of your mind all day long. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be in prayer. You don't have to be in the Word. You can be driving in your pickup or your car or wherever. You can be at work. And you just know that God's presence is with you at all time. Be aware that he is with you at all times and know that. Fill your atmosphere. I love what Pastor Jimmy Evans says. He says, the Lord comes to a prepared atmosphere. There were things that we did to prepare for today. I prepared what I just spoke over Hayes. I prepared, I had Dusty come up here and fill up the baptistry yesterday. Patricia was been getting all these things ready for the children back there. Mark and the worship team was getting all prepared for today, picking out the songs that they were gonna play today. And God showed up. And we prayed over this service today. We prayed this morning coming in. God comes to a prepared atmosphere. You got to be prepared. An atmosphere is defined as a pervading or surrounding influence or spirit, a general mood or environment. How many of you ever walked into a home and you could just cut the tension with a knife? Yeah. How many was that your home this morning? I'm just kidding. We've had that happen. You're just like, God, the tension is just here. We got to get this. It's a bad spirit. We got to get this spirit out of here. And you need to. And here's the deal, guys. We live in 2 atmospheres. One is physical and one is spiritual. And they're very real. I want to say this, and she may be watching online this morning, but I just want to encourage all of us to be, maybe when I was preparing this, I thought of somebody, and this was Amy Downey, who was here just recently. Her mother went home to be with the Lord, and she had shared with us that her mom was laying in bed. They had called in hospice and everything, but she said mom was already seeing the other side. She was in the physical, but she was already seeing the spiritual, and she was ready to go home. And Amy, I got to talk to Amy a few nights ago, and what I told her was, I said, you know, I know this is easier said than done, and because I am a hospice chaplain, and there comes that point in life, yes, I believe by faith and praying, but Barbara was ready to go home. She had ran her race. She was ready to go home, and I told Amy, I said, Amy, what you've got to do is go by that bed, take her by the hand, and say, Mom, it's okay to go. Go home. Go home. And she did, and it was just like a day later that Barbara went home to be with the Lord. But it was so beautiful what Amy shared with me. She said, Mark, she was already seeing the other side. And she had a big old smile on her face. So, guys, it is real. It's real. It's here today. There's angels encamped about us today. We live in two atmospheres. One is physical and one is spiritual. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Boom. That's how fast it's just like in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be there. Amen. Can't wait for that day, but we still have work here to do. Amen. That's why we're still here today. Genesis chapter 1, talking about filling your atmosphere. The earth, the Bible says that the earth was dark and void until what? God spoke. And then things started happening. So filling your atmosphere, you're going to have to use your voice to do that as well. And I'm just going to give you some, because I'm a practical guy too, so I want to leave you not just, you know, talking in generalities and fill your atmosphere, and you're like, okay, well, how do you do that, Pastor Mark? I'm going to give you, and this is an exhaustive list, just a few things that came to my mind, some things that we've actually even done in our home. Number one, this is how you fill your atmosphere. These are simple but very powerful things to do in your home. Number one, use technology and baptize it for glory. Load an MP3 player with the entire Bible, connect it to a small desktop speaker, and place it in the main living space of your home. Set it to repeat and let it run on low volume 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and no matter where you are or what you're doing, the Word of God is being spoken into the atmosphere of your home. That's powerful. Another thing that Jada does in our home that I love coming home, because our home is my refuge. It's my castle. It's my haven, and I've told her that. But when I come home, she'll have played worship music all day, softly throughout the day while she's doing stuff around the house. And when you come home, you can just feel the presence of God in the house. Another thing that you can do as a husband and wife is speak the Word of God out loud as you go about your daily tasks. You know, so that's how you learn scriptures together, and speak them. Speak them over yourself, speak them over your children. And everybody said, those are just very simple ways how you can fill the atmosphere of your home. And it starts inside of you. Okay, here's number two. Protect your atmosphere. Protect your house. Once you fill it, then protect it. Because the enemy likes to try to steal, kill, and destroy those things. And this is Psalms 91 verse 2. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Amen. Protect your atmosphere. Protect this house. Here's a couple more scriptures that go with this. Romans 12, 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is something we're all in the process of doing every day, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another powerful scripture, Psalms 119, verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. I'm going to tell you, young people, older people, Jade and I had this talk here just a few weeks ago. We're bombarded with all kinds of stuff in the media. On social media, Netflix, TV, everywhere, all kinds of stuff. And I don't know about you, but there are times I like to just escape, watch a movie, right? Get on Netflix, watch a movie. And then I've watched movies before, and I'll look at Jaden's like, that upset my spirit. Man, I got to watch something funny now. I got to, I need to go get in the Word now. I need to pray through now. And these are things I'm talking to you about protecting your house, because if you let me just get it out here. If you watch a movie where there's a divorce happening and infidelity, and I'm not knocking anybody if you've went through a divorce, okay? That's not. But if you're watching that kind of stuff, that spirit can get on you. And then you start thinking about the opposite sex when you should be thinking about your spouse. Amen? Those are the kind of thought, that's how the enemy works. And you might say, well, one little movie ain't, well, yeah, it's one little seed has been sown. And then your eyes start traveling around and going thinking, you know what, the grass may be greener on the other side of the fence. No, it's not. They just got a septic tank over there, okay, that's leaking. And it's fertilizing the yard, just like in your yard. We all have the same yards, right, okay? Tend to your own yard. But that's what happens. The enemy starts lying to you, sowing those little bitty seeds, and then before you long, you're. And Jade and I had this talk a couple weeks ago. We watched something, and Jada looked at me and said, we won't be doing that again. And I was like, amen, sister. Let's don't do that no more, okay? And it was just because there was things that just turn away my eyes from looking at worthless. It was worthless. It was a waste of 2 hours of my time. And revive me in your way, right? And we just, that's how you protect your house. And you all need to be on the same page doing that and have an open dialogue about it. All right, here's number three. Deal. Is everybody okay with this? All right, this is straight talk, all right? This is going to help you. Number three is deal with wrong spirits immediately. Psalms 91 verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Deal with wrong spirits immediately. This, because these things can enter into your home. James 3:16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. There's another scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 that says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Jada uses that one against me all the time because I can hold a grudge. I'm just going to, and she'll look at me and she'll know that I'm upset with her about something that happened that day or whatever. And she'll look at me, she'll go, sun going down. I was like, yeah, and it's going to come up in the morning too, you know. And that's what God says that in his word, you know. And I know what she means. She's using Ephesians chapter 4 on me and saying, let's get all this resolved. Let's deal with this wrong spirit now, and let's not go to bed angry. The Bible says that. It says if we do that, then we give the enemy a foothold into our life. We give him that inch, and he'll become the ruler of our life. Don't do that. Because that scripture right there, because he has set his love upon me. That's talking about, like, this scripture was written for Mark Haney, Psalms 91. Because Mark has set his love upon the Lord, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. When you set your love upon the Lord, you will desire to love others as he loves them. But if you step out of love, you're stepping into Satan's territory. And this is where strife, unforgiveness, rebellion, and pride are all tools that the devil uses to come into your home and stir up trouble. And his purpose is to divide and destroy your home. Don't let it happen. All right? So deal with those wrong spirits immediately. Remember, I hope you remember that scripture, sun's going down. Deal with them. And here's number four, anoint your home with oil. All right? And some of you are like, what in the world? Is that Pentecostal? No, that's Bible, all right? That is Bible. Anoint your home with oil. Psalms 91, verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Isaiah 10, verse 27 says, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And I've had people ask me, what kind of oil do I need to get, Pastor Mark? Just cooking oil, it'll work, canola, whatever, you know, olive oil. It's just a representative of the Holy Spirit. And here's what you do. One way to appropriate your faith for supernatural protection is to anoint your home with oil. Oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit and is a symbol of faith in God's ability to cleanse and make it holy. It is an act of consecrating your home to Him. To do this, anoint the frame of every door in your home, and as you do, pray and invite the Holy Spirit and His angels to fill every inch of your home and every room. Pray that only His will be done and that everything that is said and done in your home will be pleasing to Him. This is just that simple. And if you say, well, Pastor, I'd like for you to come do it, I'll come do it. We'll come to your house. But what's more powerful is when you do it as a husband and wife. do that over your home. All right, here's the number five. Anoint your home with oil. Number five is draw the bloodline. Draw the bloodline. This is Psalms 91:10, and this is something that Jade and I pray over us and over our family, over Taya and Cameron and Jarek, all the time. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Psalms 91:10. And this is where you draw the bloodline. The blood is powerful. The blood of Jesus is what I'm talking about. In 1 Peter 1:18-19, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. This is something everybody in here needs to know, okay? You weren't redeemed with silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he's saying, I want every one of you in here to know that. And because this is how powerful the blood is, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And everybody said, I don't wish this upon anybody, but I saw in action one time the power of the blood of Jesus being pleaded over a young boy that was had a demon, and a demon was coming out. Yeah, it's scriptural. It's in the New Testament. It's still happening today. And when people started pleading the blood of Jesus over that little boy, that's when they got out. That is so powerful. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. And that's how we overcome the enemy. And so you may be asking, well, Pastor Mark, how do we draw the bloodline? Okay, in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, it says, Jesus said, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, so we plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over our families, our property, and our possessions. And I don't go around, here's the deal, guys, I don't go around looking for a demon behind every bush, all right? But I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I know the authority that he has given to me, and that you can use that authority against the enemy, and he wants you to use it. And so, and just like that song we sang, saying, I am a child of God. I know that I'm a child of God, and he's given us that authority. So what you do is in prayer and faith, you can plead the blood of Jesus and draw a bloodline around your property, your vehicles, your children's schools, and your workplace, and the list goes on and on and on. You do that, okay? This may be a terrible analogy, but I'm still going to use it anyway. It's not a one-time thing either. You need to draw the bloodline all the time and let the enemy know you're not coming near my home. Jade and I, as y'all know, we sold our house here in Leedy, and we moved over by Foss Lake in a rent house, and the guy that we're renting from, his name's Matt Mayfield, and he was leading me around one day, and he began to tell me, so Mark, something I forgot to tell y'all, but whenever you move in, he goes, just know this, every time you mow, you need to spray for bugs. And I said, really? Every time? He said, yeah, I'll go to Atwood's, get you that little bottle of Tempo, and mix it up and spray every time. He said, because there are scorpions around here. He goes, I have no idea where they come from, but they're, and I bet we've killed 6 or 7 in the house. And he said, every time you mow, spray. And I was thinking about that this morning, because I need to spray again. But that was just like draw the bloodline, and because of that word scorpion in the scripture is when you draw the bloodline, that's like spraying your yard with Tempo. I know that's, but it's the truth, and it keeps the enemy at bay. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number six. Dispatch your angels. Dispatch your angels. We came up here and we had communion this morning. My dad dispatched angels over all of us. And I was like, man, that's awesome. So thank you, Dad. Dad always tells me, Mark, when there's empty seats in here, just know you're preaching to angels too. So amen. Yeah, there's a whole row over here. But dispatch your angels. In Psalms 91:11-12, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? You have angels. We all do. And we don't worship angels. We worship the King of angels, which is Jesus. But I love this scripture in Psalms 103:20-21. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. You can ask God to dispatch angels over yourself and your family, and he will do it. You need to put your angels on assignment. Some of your angels aren't working. You need to put them to work. Amen? Put them to work. Even in the Old Covenant, the angel told Daniel, he said this in Daniel 10, verse 12. He said, "Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." And Daniel's words put the angel to work for him, and you can do the same. Don't render your angels helpless with wrong words. Speak what you want to come to pass, and let them work on your behalf. Amen. Speak the word and let them work. Amen? All right, here's the last one, number seven. Number seven, pray and speak the word of God. Psalms 91, verse 4. Says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." All right. We've got to speak, we got to pray and speak the word of God, guys, to protect our houses. And then I love this scripture, Psalms 55, verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent." Speak the word of God. Pray and speak it. And then the last scripture, when I was preparing this, protect this house, I had a phone call, and I was about finished preparing the PowerPoint, and I got this phone call, and it was Ty Barker. And I know you all know Ty Barker, most of you do. He has ministered here several times, a good friend of Mark and I's that we played baseball with growing up. And he said, "Brother," he goes, "I'm here in Tulsa, and I was filling up my car, and I just felt like the Lord told me to call you and give you this scripture." And it was Isaiah 54:17. He says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is for me, says the Lord." And I told Ty, I said, "Ty, I'm sitting here preparing a message called Protect This House." I said, "That's going to be my last scripture for this." That's a great scripture. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say that it's not going to be formed. That's just saying it's not going to prosper, because you got to draw that bloodline and you got to do these other seven faith strategies. Did that help somebody this morning?
Amen.
Okay. I want you to take that word and apply it. Whatever the Holy Spirit said, you know, I just want you to ask that question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me? And out of those seven things, it may be all seven, but which one of those do you need to start doing in your home to protect your house? Okay. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And Olga, you can go ahead and go get ready if you want to. And but I want to make sure that everyone here knows the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior before we leave today. And I do this every Sunday here at the church. I don't ask you to come up here and shake my hand or, you know, join the church or anything like this. This is about becoming a part of the family of God. And it's a real simple process. I did this many years ago when I heard the gospel, when I heard about Jesus. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was tugging at my heart. The Holy Spirit was drawing me to himself. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. Now, I'd always thought, well, I've got to clean up my act before I come to the Lord, and that does not say that anywhere in there. It says that he takes care of that after the fact. The Holy Spirit will start working with you and molding and shaping you into the image of his Son, and that's his ministry. It's not anybody else's ministry. And so it's real simple. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what I want to do is lead you in a prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved and you're here today, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me." And everybody said, amen. Amen. God is good. and all the time. Amen. We're fixing to see a water baptism. And so, yeah, Jada is going to come up there and help Olga. And Loy is going to, they came up here a few Sundays ago and asked about doing this. And I'd asked Loy this week if Father's Day would be the great day to do that. And he said, yes, you bet. And so they're going to do this today. And it's really neat how the Lord, I've heard the story of Loy and Tanya and Olga and how God brought this family together. And now she came to Harvest Fellowship Church and started coming to our youth ministry and coming to church here. And that's how this has all came about today. And so if you're taking, I want you to take some pictures so we can share with Loy and Tanya. If you have your phone, if somebody don't mind. Yeah, I know Tanya's going to take some. And Jennifer, if y'all don't mind, we'll try to get as many. These are precious moments in a family. And but Loy had asked to, and I always love it when, you know, family wants to do the water baptism. Yeah. And Loy, you don't even have to get wet. Yeah. And then she can sit down right there on that little bench when she comes in. Okay. Olga, you are tough, girl. And if you'll turn around and sit down on that little bench there, yeah. Yeah. And then, but before you do, I want you to look out here before Loy baptizes you, because I have some. Because a lot of people don't know about your next step of following the Lord, and after you've been saved, is water baptism. That's the next step of obedience. And are you freezing? Okay, you're tough. All right. And but in Galatians, it talks about that Paul equated the water baptism with a kind of spiritual circumcision. And what this means is the covenant seal of your relationship with the Lord is water baptism. A covenant sign is when you come up here on Sunday mornings and have communion. That's a sign that you are a believer. And in Romans 6, the Apostle Paul talks about that, and I love this, he says that baptism is sometimes called the watery grave, and that means there's a death of the old man and a resurrection of the new man. So I'm going to do, I always like to do this, a charge to Olga, and this is the charge. Olga, do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to celebrate Jesus Christ's presence and to further his mission in the world? If so, say, I do. Amen. And here's a charge to all of us. Will you support Olga, who is the newest member to the body of Christ, with prayer, words, and deeds to help her grow in her knowledge of the Lord and also of his love? If so, say, we will. We will. Amen. All right. So, Loy, go right ahead. Amen. Amen. God is good and all the time. Okay, while she's drying off up here, and we're going to give her a big hand clap when she comes out, but I want you guys to stand up out here, all right? And I'm going to speak a blessing over you this morning. And before we leave, and before you go, I know I've got to get a picture with my dad, so you guys, you know, families, get pictures over there. Jacoby, you need to get a bunch of pictures of today, okay? So you got lots of family here. It's good to see all of them. And be sure and get those pictures taken back there. And we have muffins and donuts and all that. Won't spoil your dinner. We have that there in the back. You can take some of that with you. All right. Is everybody ready for your blessing? Jada, will you come up here, babe? We're going to speak this blessing over you guys. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, I protect this house. Amen. Okay. And we have little prizes for everybody, is what I just heard. Prizes. Dad, you get a prize. Confusion fades.